We bless the wonderful morning worship and music. Thank you, God, who blessed us this morning. And now I invite you to look with me to John's Gospel, please, together. Chapter 2. During the months of November and December, along with special emphases, of course, that we have, Thanksgiving and Christmas, I have forever considered sharing with you what I would call your pastor's favorite sermons. If some of these sermons sound familiar, because they are, because I preach them here, and I appreciate the opportunity to share them with you again, because they blessed my heart, and I can't imagine having done anything else other than what God's let me do for the last 55 years, preaching the gospel, the glorious gospel, and I'm thankful for a church family like Calvary that loves the Word and loves the teaching and preaching of the Word. So this morning, one of my favorite sermons, When Jesus Shows Up.
Amen.
John's Gospel, chapter 2. Follow along with me, would you please, as I read beginning in verse 1. By the way, before I read the text, I want to say just a brief word of personal appreciation to our veterans. You have served your country faithfully, and we're able to enjoy our freedom because of your faithfulness to serve. And I want to say thank you with all my heart. And Ian, I was kind of impressed. I saw your picture down here, son. You got all those medals on the chair. Look pretty good. What a blessing. John's Gospel, chapter 2. When Jesus shows up. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, or when they had run out of wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, you would know that in the culture that day, that would have been a very common address, and very accustomed, what they were accustomed to. Those customs don't always carry on, so gentlemen, let me share with you. Be cautious if you call your wife a woman. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? What is this you need me to do? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. Containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, or 25 to 30 gallons apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and fill them up to the brim. He said unto them, Draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. On the roof of the feast, had tasted the water that was made wine, and you not know where it came from or whence it was. The servants was true the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, Usually or normally and customarily, every man at the beginning does set forth a good wine, when men are well drunk and that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. And I like what John's concluding words are, this beginning of miracles that Jesus in Cana of Galilee manifested forth his glory, the disciples believed on him. One of the most enjoyable things I enjoy doing as much as anything is following in the Gospels, the life of Jesus. We are celebrating with people the events of life just like we do, and of course not the least of which was weddings and marriages. Here we find in the Cana of Galilee, the mother of Jesus is somehow in charge of the reception, and Jesus and his disciples have been invited to come. And the whole story of John chapter 2 is the story of Jesus' first recorded miracle. Jesus, of course, made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, raised the dead from the grave. And every miracle says something about the majesty and the marvel and the might of who Jesus really was. And in this wonderful, wonderful story about the marriage in Cana of Galilee, I tried to capture what I believe was the heart and the essence of this wonderful wedding. this wonderful miracle in John chapter 2 and borrow the title, When Jesus Shows Up. Really three things that I always think about this morning at this wedding in Cana of Galilee. Everybody loves the wedding, except those that have to pay for it. Libby and I are blessed to have several grandchildren, and they're at that age now, many of them, where they're getting married, and it is a time of celebration, but it's time of great financial demands, and nerves get on the edge, and I know that one of our granddaughters called her mama, our daughter, this week, and she was crying. The wedding is not till next June, but she's feeling the pressure of it now. This is just going to get worse as time goes on. But maybe not. When Jesus shows up, it was always a big thing when Jesus showed up, whether it was to a house to heal somebody who was lame, whether it was Jesus showing up on the roadside to heal somebody who was blind, or that Jesus stopped at a gravesite and called forth the name of Lazarus. Whatever Jesus did, whenever he had a great truth to share, a miracle to perform, it's always a big deal and a great life lesson for all of us. There are three things that are almost too simple in this wonderful story of the marriage in Cana of Galilee I want to think about under the title, When Jesus Shows Up. When Jesus shows up, just when I need him most, he does three things. He addresses my problems. Songwriter once wrote, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that you could solve them. Aren't you glad we've got a God who's in the problem-solving business? There's no need too great, no demand too strong. Jesus was called to the wedding. They ran away. Ran out of the festival. And don't you know, the hostess was embarrassed and concerned, and Jesus said, I like what Jesus said, what is it, that, Mama, that you like, what is it that you really like for me to do? I think he was planting a seed, because all throughout his 30, 32, 33 year marriage, Jesus spent all those years helping his other disciples understand why he had come, what his coming meant, and the problems that his gospel stirred up among the religious crowd in Jesus' day. And the more I want to look at in just a moment, when Jesus shows up, he shows up to address our problems. The mother of Jesus said to the disciples, whatever he says, do it. We're to fix it. The only person I know that can fix this thing is Jesus. So when Jesus showed up, he addressed their problem. And secondly, and we'll look at it together in just a moment, he affirms my purpose. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But you know, you are a vessel of the Lord, and a vessel fit for his use. We're going to look at those vessels together in just a moment. He addresses my problems, he affirms my purpose, and he alters my perspective. The master of the feast said, when they tasted the wine, and Jesus turned water to wine, he said, you saved the best for now. You saved the best for now. And there are some wonderful life lessons that I wish that we would take home with us today. But Jesus shows up. What does it mean? Jesus shows up. He addresses life's problems. Well, there are a couple of ideas I want to share with you that go along with that question. Jesus addresses my problems. No, when I confess that I have a problem. Now, the problem most of us have is we don't have a problem. We're not thoroughly honest or transparent about things that aren't necessarily as right as they ought to be, or could be, or should be. And this miracle, or this need at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, was shared with us because we all could identify with that, whether there was a danger of a wedding reception going bad. So they had a problem, and I'm sure Mary, the mother of Jesus, was panicking. And, son, we need your help. And what is it, Mama, that you want me to do? And Jesus wants to address our problems, we've got to first of all confess that we've got a problem. In the book of Revelation, the letters to the seven churches are a wonderful life lesson. And first of all, one of those is the letter to the church at Laodicea. Because thou art not cold nor hot nor lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And he said, because thou sayest I have nothing, I am in need of nothing, and you not that you're poor and miserable and wretched and naked and blind. So Jesus is saying, I've come to address the problems of Laodicea. The first thing you've got to come to grips with is the truth of why you need a revival, why you need Jesus to show up. Because things aren't as well as they ought to be. It's a good thing every once in a while just to take inventory and say, Lord, share with me whatever I need to see, whatever I need to know about what's going on in my life. Be careful that there may be blind spots that you don't know where of that would occur that you would need to give attention to. Jesus shows up. He shows up to when I confess I have a problem. When I confess I have a problem, Jesus addresses my problem. When Jesus shows up, when I confirm his purpose, Mama, what is this you want me to do? Mary didn't understand Jesus came to redeem the world, came to set the captive free. What do you need me to do? I like what Mary told the service. Whatever he says to you, do it. Just a very personal note for just a moment. Just answer it in the silence of your own heart. What would you say your problems were that you're facing? What storms are there that you've had to deal with? Don't respond verbally, just simply acknowledge that all of us have them. Aren't you glad we've got a Savior who can calm a storm and storm the seas? Aren't you glad that you can go to the Savior, you go to the cemetery, change everybody's view of the grave, and Jesus raised the dead? Don't you know the blind man never saw another day as wonderful as did that day that Jesus healed him and gave him back his sight? So number one, when Jesus shows up, he shows up to address my problems. So I've got a good word for you. If you've got a problem, I've got somebody I can refer you to. Stand and sweet Jesus, cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Jesus shows up, he always addresses our problem. No problem too large, no problem too small. No marriage you can't fix, no life you can't straighten out. Nothing you can't do that we need him to do. Jesus shows up, he addresses my problem. Those address my problem. I like this when he affirms my purpose. Verse 7, look at verse 7 again. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, they fill them up to the brim. Jesus used several clay water pots as instruments of the miracle, turning the water into wine. And that reminds me of that passage I quoted a while ago from 2 Corinthians 4:7. We as believers have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is it that our Lord wants us to understand about he affirms my purpose? What do you mean, Lord, you affirm my purpose? When Jesus showed up to remind the people that God has a plan for their lives. To learn this lesson from the lesson of the earthen vessels. The earthen vessels were containers of the wine. And we're that vessel that the Lord wants to use. Our vessels are to be, first of all, purged vessels. You wouldn't think of serving water or wine as impure or dirty or contaminated. Why would we expect the Lord to do the work in our lives if we're not serious about being clean and holy and walking in godliness and obedience? Our vessels are to be purged and then presented unto the Master. They filled them with the water and brought them to Jesus, and Jesus performed a miracle, turned the water into wine. I particularly like this point. The vessels then presented to the Lord to fill up. If the Lord says that we have this treasure, is this the gospel, this treasure in our earthly bodies, what does He want that to mean? He wants that your vessel to be purged, your vessel to be clean, your vessel to be presented to the Lord, and your vessels are to be possessed, fill them up to the brim. Be you not drunk with wine in Ephesians, but be filled with Spirit. That being filled with Spirit is a present indicative tense in the Greek, which means not only to be filled not once, but to continue to be filled. What are you saying, Brother Jackie? When Jesus shows up, he addresses my problems. Jesus shows up, he affirms my purpose. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for me now. For example, I appreciate those of you who sing so beautifully and wonderfully and bless us every time you do. The Lord did not gift me with a singing voice. You don't want surprise, but it did. I'm not surprised. I really believe I do the Lord's service when I leave the singing to other people. The truth is, God called me to preach. And I don't know why He did. The truth is, I'm just grateful that He did. He uses old clay pots. In fact, just think about it for a moment. And I mean this at the highest degree of flattery. We are vessels of clay. We're old clay pots, but when those clay pots are surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, turned over to Him for His use, for His miracles, He can turn the water into wine and remind us that there's no problem too soft, too hard for Him to solve. Number one, when Jesus shows up, He addresses my problems. Number two, when Jesus shows up, He affirms my purpose. As we present Him purged and presented and possessed vessels, fill them up to the brim. When Jesus shows up, number three, He alters my perspective. The master of the feast was amazed and said, "You've saved the best for man." When we confess we have a problem, we conform to His purpose, when we confirm or conform to His plan, Jesus indeed saves His best for now. That wedding in Cana of Galilee, don't you know that the disciples talked about that the rest of their ministry? And it was, I can't imagine what a glorious thing it was and what the response on their faces were and what their response to Jesus' miracle was. I know this. Jesus is reminding us that a miracle is what Jesus is a miracle and Jesus for He Himself. Was and is a miracle greater than all of His miracles. Jesus, when Jesus shows up, He shows up to address our problem. He shows up to affirm our purpose, and He shows up to alter our perspective. It's important that we realize the spiritual truth of what Jesus was doing. This is not just a miracle. It's a miracle of great and a great message. A long time ago, somebody told me this little story. It was about a kindergarten teacher who was going to teach her children the evils of alcohol. So she brought to the classroom two containers. One had alcohol in it and one had water in it. She said, "In class, now watch carefully." She dropped an earthworm in the little glass of water. And the earthworm swam around and around and around. And the teacher was so proud of her ability to demonstrate the truth. She said, "Now class, watch carefully." She dropped the other earthworm down in the container of alcohol and shriveled up and died. Excuse me, Bob, I'm sorry. I used to scare Bob somewhere in the service. This earthworm shriveled up and died. That teacher was so proud of herself and her ability to demonstrate the truth. She said, "Now class, who can tell me what this little lesson teaches?" And one little rambunctious first grader raised his voice and said, "Preacher, teacher teaches, then if you drink enough, you'll never have worms." Well, it may be true, but I don't think it's exactly what he meant. Folks, stay home. And Jesus shows up. You know, I remember a service in Bethlehem Baptist Church in Lazy Spring, Alabama, when I was 19. Had just got married. I was in a wonderful, wonderful world. But there was something else the Lord had for me. I've been praying about it. I couldn't understand what it was. The Lord's calling me to preach. I look back now, 55 years later, 56 years later. I think, Lord, thank you for your wonderful call to gospel ministry. As long as I'm living, I want to be a faithful preacher. I want to be a faithful preacher of the Word of God. Jesus showed up to the country church in Lacey Spring, Alabama, to lay his hand on a young boy and say, I've got a good plan for you. I've got a blessing for you. That's what happens when Jesus shows up. If you run out of joy, run out of peace, run out of hope, I invite you to come and give yourself fully, thoroughly, completely to the master of miracles. Don't go away and try to fix things on your own. A lot of things in life we can't fix alone, but Jesus can. He's a miracle worker. He addresses our problems. He affirms your purpose. He wants to use your vessel. Just present it to him and he'll fill it up. He'll use you to make a difference for his kingdom. He solves our problems, addresses our problems, he affirms our purpose. And he honors our perspective. I can truthfully say, Lord, you saved your best till now. Today's the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I pray this belief today will make up our mind, Lord, for every day that you give me, I want it to be the best day that you've got planned for me, Lord. I want you to be the one of whom we can say, thank you, Lord, you saved your best for now. And I can truthfully say, when I think about your love for sweet living in me, your great kindness, your sweet spirit, your support, your affirmation, the Lord's blessed me in living one of the sweetest blessings in the world. That's being a part of the Calvary family. God's got a plan for all of us. God's got a plan for you. If you haven't discovered that plan yet, just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. We invite you to come and give your heart and life to Jesus. If you don't know what it means to be saved, we'll tell you what it means to do it, to repent of sin, respond in faith to Christ. Let's bow together, shall we?